Welcome, everybody, to my monthly forum. This is Patrick Williams, the Director of Training and Founder of ILCT. I decided this month it'd be kind of fun to do a coaching demo. I don't think we do that enough. I know I'm in a couple of mentor groups where I get to hear other people. And, you know, rather than judge, it's always learn from. I used to be on the assessment committee for a long time with the ICF, and they've formalized their process more and more over the years. But the truth is every coach will do it differently as long as it's coaching, you know, and not advising and fixing for the client. So I've come off a cold from visiting my grandkids, and I'm better the last couple of days, but my voice is getting a little dry, so we'll see how that goes. So I think it'd be best if we would start off with a coaching demo with Ann, who volunteered, and just like you would be doing if you did an assessment with the ICF or were doing a sample session maybe with somebody, this will only be maybe 20 minutes, 30 at the most. It'll be a snapshot of what a coaching conversation would be if Ann were my ongoing client. It's probably more likely to demonstrate that this would be a first session with somebody who thinks they want to be a client or is trying out coaching. So since I know nothing about her other than what she sent to me as a descriptor, it's really more like that as a first coaching session. And then we'll, with all of us here, use our collective wisdom to see what worked, what could have been better. What I don't want is for people to say, well, I would have done this, or, I mean, yeah, okay, we could have 20 different ways of coaching. That's true. But the main thing is to find out what did you learn that's something that you can apply to your coaching. You know, I'll get in the mode of coaching and will not, how can I put the meat on my consciousness will be on the coaching. So you may hear things that I don't remember saying or doing, but what I want to hear from you is what was an aha for you, what worked, what are you curious about, and then, of course, we'll hear from Ann and what worked from her. So welcome, everybody. Ann, I assume you're not muted, but we're going to have to unmute you somehow. Ann, you're still with us?
I'm still here, Pat.
Okay, good. So we have a small little audience. A few people, we might have doorbells ringing like that, but as best we can, let's have both of us prepare for a coaching conversation here. So wherever you are, I'd like you to just, you know, take a moment to become present, and maybe you need to take a few breaths, you need to sit down, you need to close the door, whatever may help you become present and focused. And if I could ask the person breathing very close to the phone, if they could just move their headset a little bit. I'm hearing some of that. It's a little bothersome. Either that or mute yourself. And the other thing, Ann, is for you to realize that this is meant to be as insightful and as helpful, because the magic of coaching is that you have a conversation with another person about what's been going on in your head a little bit. So even if you've coached with other people or gotten ideas from other people, this is an opportunity and time for you to get coaching from somebody new.
Okay.
So why don't you share with the group here with me, let's forget about the group for now, why don't you share with me what it is you'd like to get some coaching on, and what would be the main focus that you'd like to have in the coaching?
Okay. First of all, the request for me to do this came early this morning, so I've been trying to sort that out. The situation that is really challenging me right now is I'm a minister in the United Church of Christ, and I was semi-retired, but then called back to serve as an interim minister at a church that has dwindled quite a bit, and there are a lot of, when I was hired for just a short-term, part-time position to help them decide what they want to do in the future, the issue was, do they close? I mean, they're down to about 40 to 50 active members. Do they close and then get reborn, or do they try to find a pastor for a longer term after me and try to resurrect themselves with that person, or what do they do? And I thought there were maybe a couple of players in that decision that had some pretty firm opinions on what they should do. I've been there now for 6 or 7 weeks, and I'm finding out, or have found out, that it's way beyond that. I mean, there's some opinions at the conference level. There's some opinions by the contracting people that worked with the church before I got there. There are previous pastor opinions and interaction that shouldn't be, but is there. The closer, or the more into it that we get to sort this out, the more different opinions are coming out at levels that I didn't expect. And I'm really confused, you know, which direction to go right now.
So that last statement I heard, I'm really confused. Is that where you'd like to focus? Because I'm here in a very complicated situation that you just stepped into. And all those other people aren't here. So what would you like to get out of coaching today?
I haven't talked this over with anyone, and I would like some clarity on my next steps.
Mm-hmm. So what have you thought about so far as possibilities?
Well, the moderator, who is the elected leader of the congregation on an annual basis, is very sharp, very dynamic, one of very few people in the congregation that are, frankly. And we've been working very, very well together. And we had plotted out a bit of a course. And now I find out she has a serious illness in her family, and she's going to be gone for the better part of the next month when most of the critical things we had talked about were going to happen. And so I'm faced with postponing some of these difficult decisions, or taking on more than I should, which is kind of my way of working. I always tend to do that, but I really don't want to right now.
Okay.
Or trying to find someone else to step up and take on those responsibilities and press on.
Okay, so I'd like to make a request. It seems like we could very easily have this turn into kind of a consulting, idea-generating for the major problem, which involves people other than you. And I realize you're one of the decision makers. But what I'd like to get in our time together today is for us to go, you know, almost inside you. So, like, right now, in this moment, if you could have a coaching conversation, elicit some meaningful insights, new ideas for what you can do. I mean, you're part of the discussion, but you're not the only one. What would be a bold, big deal shift that could happen with you if you think of anything like that? Is there anything you thought about that you weren't even sure you wanted to share with somebody else about what you really, really want?
I know what I really, really want is for that, well, there's two parts to this, is for that church to succeed and not fail. But I also know that for me myself, I tend to fall into that trap of being the savior. And it's interesting, while you were talking there, something shifted in me, and I thought, you know, I was hired to do a particular thing, and I have expanded that and probably taken on more responsibility for their outcome than I was either contracted or should be willing to do, if that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, I mean, if somebody steps up to be the savior, is the word you use, they'll gladly accept it, right?
Right.
You know, it's funny, if I could share with you, I can't help but when you said I retired and now I'm back, just think of that word retired. You know, it's but it's a funny word because it's retired, and it doesn't sound like you want to get tired again. So if re-energizing could be part of this job, is that anything that resonates with you?
Oh, in a huge way. Huge way.
Okay.
The minute you said that, I thought, wow. I did this for a number of reasons. And, I took the position. And I actually consider myself semi-retired. and I always held open the possibility of taking a short-term pastorate again. While I worked on building my coaching practice, I did just finish all of the stuff for the BCC and pass the exam and all of that. And I'm really loving that. I absolutely love it. I get so energized by it. And then I let that side of me that always wants to be a winner. I want to be able to help this church all the things that I know they can, and I find myself getting frustrated, probably more so than I should, just because they're not moving at the pace I want them to move at.
So I hear the energy different in your voice when you talk about that insight you had and thinking about the coaching. How can you bring that to the problem at hand? How can you bring that to even seeing if this chaotic reorganization of the church is something that you can assist with?
Wow, you really have me thinking there.
You don't have to have a quick answer. This is meant to be thoughtful and provoking. So.
Yeah, because you're really, that's right on for me, because I slipped very easily back into the mode. I've had several other churches longer term, very quickly back into that mode of being the fixer, and where I think it would be much more natural for me at this point to be more of the coach and see this as they are fully capable and experienced and competent enough to make their own decisions about what they want. And if I saw myself more as their coach, if I looked at interim ministry more as a coaching opportunity, that's got some real possibilities there. That would take some serious pressure off of me that I've been feeling.
Yeah, so getting clear in your role of not wanting to be a fixer, but instead the word coach might fit. I even had an image that come to mind, if I can share it with you. This is just an image, and you can tell me if it resonates. But a lot of times in my coaching, I use metaphors. And you named yourself as a fixer, so that's kind of a metaphor right there.
Mm-hmm.
If your role were that of a seed, and you as the seed were planted in this situation, what might germinate? Or better yet, what would you want to germinate? It's your seed.
Can I play with that metaphor a little bit?
Oh, yeah.
I actually think they've got the seeds that they need for growth. And what I would shift it to is maybe I would be a master gardener, that they're working with, and they're doing the planting.
Oh.
And they're doing the care and the weeding and all of that, and they're talking to me about, is this a weed or isn't this a weed, and, you know, should I put more water on it or not, and that sort of thing. And that I can really see that. I might even use that with them.
Beautiful. Yeah. No, I like that. That's even, that's great, because not fixing, but the idea of a master gardener. And even that is like, if they decide if it's a weed, you don't tell them. You say, well, I don't know. Is this bothersome to you, or is it a weed you want to leave in there? You know, we don't pluck all weeds out of a garden, just the ones that are choking up the plants.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting, since we've been going in this direction, and this is the honest to God truth, I am feeling so much lighter, because I even noticed in myself when we first started talking, I was really getting wrapped into all the details and the junk that's going on there. And when I lift myself out of that and see that as theirs and me as in more of a coaching role, that makes the whole situation so much more manageable for me.
Beautiful.
Because that really is what they hired me to do. They didn't hire me to become a member of the church. And I may actually be more of an impediment right now than I am being what I want to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I've really got to think about it.
So when you just noticed, you had a feeling of feeling lighter, I think was your phrase. How did you notice? Where in your body did you notice that? How did you become aware of that feeling?
Well, when we first started talking, first of all, I was a little bit nervous, because I've never done this, particularly with this many people.
With an audience, right.
Yeah, other than in classes. But I was sitting up in my chair. I'm at my desk, and I was sitting forward, and I was gesturing with my hands and all of that, like I am right now, trying to explain it. And when I was just sharing that with you, I'm sitting back in my chair, and I'm far more relaxed and breathing a little bit more deeply. And and that's pretty typically my way.
Good. So let's do a little check-in. So based on when we got started, and you kind of shared a little bit of the story, and then I shifted it to you,
right.
Are you getting what you want out of the coaching at this moment? Is there a shift of direction? Are you clear about something else you want? Because you wanted more clarity. That was the word you used.
I have received more than I had hoped for. I really have, in such a very short period of time. But it's just that calling me back to the newer skills that I have, I think skills that I've had for many, many years of my life, but that now I'm more focused on and in enjoying immensely, and have been able to help other people using. And now I'm drawn back to, this is an old situation, but I can take my new stuff into it. And I think, honestly believe that it's going to be a whole lot more effective than what I've been doing the last 7 weeks.
Okay, so tell me what you're going to do differently.
Well, it's interesting you say that. I'm going to reflect a lot on that. I have to head down there to the church after we're done speaking. And I have several meetings today with the moderator and a few other people. And I'm going to ask more questions and give fewer opinions.
Okay.
How about that?
Good. And now, would you please write that one down?
Yes, as a matter of fact.
Okay. All right. Cool. Then we don't have anybody taking notes for you. So, so what would be a second thing that you're going to do differently?
I'm going to slow myself down. And for me, that means just being aware of my body language, being aware of my breathing, and I know from all the work that I've done that the gremlin that I deal with the most is my head, and that I can fix anything that I put my mind to, and that I will jump in and do my darndest to either succeed or help others succeed. And I have to just keep reminding myself that, and I will, that this is theirs. This is their issue for them to solve or resolve.
Mm-hmm.
And in doing that, I can step back and actually, I think, be far more effective for them.
Mm.
Far more helpful. You know, it's interesting. Now, it just popped into my mind. The last time I talked with the moderator, I actually apologized at one point because I told her I thought I was talking too much.
Hmm.
Now, that alone should have told me something.
So use of silence could even be something that is... I mean, you talked about calming yourself or slowing down.
Yeah.
What are some of the ways that you can be conscious of slowing yourself down?
Conscious of it. Certainly my posture.
Mm-hmm.
Because I do jump into things with my whole self. When I am trying, and I know I can feel the busyness in my mind when I am searching for the answer. And if I can become more more aware of that, and just tell myself to chill and to let them do the busy work.
Mm-hmm.
That I think that would be pretty helpful.
Good. Anything else?
Oh, probably. I just haven't thought of it yet.
Well, yeah, I like that. Probably lots of anything else. Has there anything come to mind right now?
No. I could probably, dredge some things up, but that feels like pretty good progress to me.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So let's wrap up. What have you gotten? What have you gotten out of coaching? And what are you going to do differently, and be accountable?
What I have gotten out of this that I think is the most important for me is that how valuable, I'll make it as a statement, then I'll make it personal, how valuable coaching can and will be for me in the ministry setting.
Yeah.
And for me personally, that reminder, of course I've thought of this, but I mean I actually have to put it into practice, that I will use my coaching skills in a new, and in my opinion, it will be far more effective approach to the ministry that I've got right now.
Mm. Great. And what else would you like to take away, or are you taking away from this time today?
Overarching is just the power of coaching and how, in such a short period of time, you were able to bring me around to that. And I got totally absorbed in it and was unaware of anybody else on the call. And it just and I'll go back to the retired, that will stick with me. Because if I look at it with my old eyes,
yeah,
my old eyes, that retired is, I mean, it just sticks out like a sore thumb. It's
mm-hmm.
because I was, when I left ministry, I was so tired.
Mm-hmm.
I was truly exhausted. And if I continue on the same path, I will get to the point where I will be retired again. And I just love that image of being re-energized. And coaching does
yeah.
that for me.
Great.
Yeah.
Well,
so there we are.
Are you in a place where it's good to stop? This is good?
I think so.
Okay,
I'm real
well,
comfortable with where I'm at.
Good. Well, I thank you for volunteering and going with the flow of the conversation, just knowing, what did I volunteer for, right? But good job.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay, so let's stop, and we'll see if any questions or comments people have. And
thank
we'll
you so
see.
Much.
You're welcome. Thank you. My pleasure.
This is Gail.
Yes, Gail.
Hi. That was awesome. It's been a while since I've done it, you know, listened in on a coaching call, and yeah, wow, in, you know, 20 minutes, half hour, you really got her to where she needed to be. One of the things that really stuck out for me that I found myself as a coach kind of, you know, when the part came out about you saying to her, well, let's just kind of get rid of the rest of the people and just focus on you. I find as a coach, it is very easy to kind of get up caught up in that story of everybody else. So it was a great reminder to pull it back to her, because this is who we're coaching. We're coaching her and getting her to feel better and, you know, get where she needs to be, not the whole group. So that was a great reminder for me. Thank you.
You're welcome. Somebody else?
This is Linda, and I appreciated, Pat, how you came when she kept saying, yes, she was going to be now a coach versus a savior or one that fixes it. You kept coming back with, tell me what you're going to do differently. And it was concretizing the specifics of this. So, again, I know that that's core for us in coaching, but it was just, it really helped to shift the energy so that she was able to get more specific, and then you invited her to write it down.
Yeah, I think, you know, I mean, a coaching conversation is different even from a great conversation somebody can have with a friend, and the difference is that we don't stop with, wow, that sounds good, good luck with that. we go a little further, and we keep looking behind the curtain, like, what else is there? So, yeah, in just 20 minutes, I mean, I was amazed, too. And how many of you could feel or hear or sense her energy shift? I mean, here's one of the things for telephonic coaching. You know, I can't see her. I don't know what Ann looks like at all, but I certainly could hear the shift. Energy of her voice, some way, I don't know what it is, but you can sense it. And I sure did. And I didn't comment on it. I actually, somehow she mentioned it. I opened the door to it, I think,
mm-hmm.
and then commented on it. Anybody else? What did you notice? What did you learn?
Hi, this is Noelle, and what I noticed and appreciated was your effortless usage of a metaphor. And, I mean, there's just such a difference seeing it done in a skilled way rather than just, like, fumbling through, you know, the use of metaphors to really help someone put something in perspective and to make that shift. So I thought that was a very useful thing to be able to witness.
Yeah, thanks. I love using metaphors, and I did an advanced class once on the use of metaphors. But like everything else, one of my friends used to say, it's kind of like chili peppers in a Mexican recipe. You know, you don't want to put them in everything, and you don't want to use too many of them. But a metaphor that comes from the client. I mean, she was already talking about being a fixture, and then I just said, mm-hmm. I've got image. Can I just share this image? And it may have been totally wrong, but in the use of the metaphor of the seed, I didn't tell her how to use it. She actually said, may I shift it? Well, of course. you know, it's just the image I got. It's not the answer. So yeah, metaphors are fun. They're movable. They're malleable, and they've got a lot of wisdom from the unconscious that gets transmitted without words.
So for students, sorry, I just have one more question then regarding the use of metaphors. Do you recommend then that all the coaching students take, if they're especially interested in learning how to utilize metaphors properly, to take the course at ILCP just to give them more confidence in that and improve their skill set?
Yeah, I think it helps. I mean, I may teach it again coming up, but I think there's some great resources on using metaphors in coaching. Yeah, I don't know if that call that I did is recorded, but I think it helps because it helps, like anything else, here's what it helps you do. It helps you become competent and confident. And both of those things are necessary for you to be in the flow. You know, when I was, this whole thing about me even stepping up to do a coaching demo today, it's like, oh, gosh, somebody may listen to this, well, that wasn't masterful coaching, or I wouldn't have done it that way. But I'm just being me. You know, coaching is coaching is coaching. And what my goal is over the years of doing this is to not fall into being the fixer for Ann, not trying to fix the problem, not being sucked into being a consultant or a problem solver, because I was demonstrating more coaching. So I hope you heard evocative questions, use of silence. We use metaphor. I don't know that I ask a closed question. I think I tried consciously to ask questions that neither one of us knew the answer to.
Hello, Pat. This is John.
Yeah. Yes.
For those who are, you know, interested in metaphors, there's also a place in England called Clean Coaching
that does
teleseminars on metaphor.
Yeah, that is a good source.
Angela Dunbar.
Yeah.
CleanCoaching.com.
Talks about clean language. I actually trained with the founder of that place back in the 80s as a psychologist, David Grove, and now they've moved it into coaching. And I've written a couple articles on metaphors and coaching, so I think if anybody wants some more resources on that, then we'll get back to Ann. Just write me at pat@lifecoachtraining.com, and I'll find some resources for you, including what John just shared.
Oh, Pat, you had made an offer a few months ago about offering, you know, 3 coaching sessions for a certain amount of money to help people kind of get more familiar with coaching. Are you still offering that?
No, that was actually when Life Options owned ILCT, and that's not the case anymore. That was something they were doing kind of against my better judgment at the time, but no. Not personally. I mean, I'm always available as a mentor coach or something, and we may find other ways to have faculty do demonstrations, but I'm not offering that. So, Ann, let's ask you. So you shared a little bit about what you get out of the coaching, and as you hear some of the other students reflect on it, where are you now? What's your insight or learning that you're wanting to share?
From a coaching standpoint, whoever mentioned that a few minutes ago, the minute that was said, I thought that I just remembered a couple of times when you were quiet and I was trying to think of what I was going to say next or how I was going to respond. There was a part of me that kept expecting you to jump back in and guide me, you know. Tell me something else. Push me this way. Push me that way. And you didn't, so I had to come up with it on my own. And I just remembered that feeling when the person mentioned the silence. So that gave me, as a coach, insight into how the clients feel that when I do it with them. So. I particularly appreciated that.
Well, boy, I appreciate you noticing that, because that is the biggest skill I had to learn and relearn in my journey as a coach. I, too, am a natural fixer, problem-solving, idea generator sort of person.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be part of a coaching relationship over time. But generally speaking, fortunately, I have a mute button. So I will give you guys a secret. Sometimes it's okay to mute yourself as a coach so you don't blurt something out. Pay attention, listen, you know, just avoid, I think we teach it as the 7-second delay, you know, just have yourself stop. You don't need to look brilliant. You don't need to add something. That's okay to share insights or, like, I just had this image, I don't know, would it be helpful to share it with you? But in the early part of the coaching, so let's say I knew I had 20, 25 minutes with her, I used a lot of silence and short questions on purpose. That is one makes two things that I can sense right in the moment come out in the coaching. One is presence. You really feel my presence and my excuse me, my connection to you. And the other thing it creates is you searching deeper for what you need and what you know, rather than looking to me for some wisdom or ideas. So I think silence is a key part of creating presence in coaching. I'll tell you all a funny story. Early on in my coaching career, I mean, I coached executives from 1990 to, say, 96 until this whole coaching movement started, and I went to coach you, and then I hired coaches, and I always tried to hire the best. So I even had, you know, Thomas Leonard early in the days, Sandy Vilas coach you, and then I hired Cheryl Richardson before she wrote her first book and became ultra famous. And then I hired another guy named Jay Perry and John. Here's what I noticed. Four of my first five coaches, certainly not Thomas Leonard. Thomas Leonard was a very talkative coach, very engaged, back-and-forth sort of coach. But the next four out of the next five coaches I hired were very reflective and quiet people to the point where sometimes I wondered if they were still there. Cheryl would just listen, and Jay Perry would just listen, and maybe I'd hear it. Not even to tell me more. It'd just be the silence. And I finally realized, those of you who know me more closely, that there was only room for one of me on the phone. I'm a talker. So sometimes all my coaches had to do was ask a question, and I was off and running, thinking out loud. And then they might punctuate the direction with, tell me more about that, or what's going on right now in your body? So bringing me back to the now. Because coaching is about the now and the what's coming. At its best, coaching is not about the past. Once you know enough about the person's past or what they bring to the coaching, it's like, what's true now about the future you want to step into? Okay, so any other comments, curiosities from the crowd here?
I just wanted to, you had said short, when you have a short amount of time, you use short answer questions and silence. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Now, I know that one time I caught myself saying, is it this, is it this? And I said, oh, that's too long a question. So I think I summarized it at the end with, you know, can you tell me, I don't even know what I said, but if you find yourself talking too much, call time out and start over. You know, that relates to a question somebody actually put on the, somebody wrote in, how do folks, somebody had a great question about that. Give insights into the many different ways that a coach can proceed in the session. Maybe give examples of different ways or different questions a coach could go or ask in certain places in a coaching call. You know, the truth is you don't want to come off as rote. You don't want to have a list of key questions that you always ask. When you get over your phase of feeling that you're learning coaching and you start feeling competent, you just go with the session. My friend Pam Richard once said at an ICF conference, I mean, we have all these ways of credentialing coaching and listening to coaching, and we teach a lot of theoretical foundations from developmental processes to skills. I mean, you guys have taken the training, right? But when you're in the coaching call, it's just coaching. You're not trying to think of all those theories and skills that you'll get better if you review it afterwards and say, what did I do that was well done? In fact, tape records these coaching calls. Listen to them. Or get in a supervision mentoring group with some other coaches and, you know, coach each other and then get feedback. But the bottom line is, in the moment with the client, you don't even want to be thinking too much. You want to just be present and responding with questions that evoke new thinking from the client.
Pat, this is Tom. I just wanted to pick up on that because one of the things I noticed happening in myself is I was taking a lot of notes to try to stay focused on the conversation, and I do that when I'm coaching, but I think there's a real error in that because then you're not really focused in on what's going on. And I, you know, just hearing you do that and recognizing what I was doing, I just really saw that distinction for me, for myself.
Yeah, Tom, I'll tell you, with practice, it's amazing how good, I mean, during the day, my memory is like, no, what was that person's name or who was in that movie? I mean, my general memory is fogged and blocked. But in a coaching session, I can come back and almost remember the word the client said without even writing it down. Hmm. And if, and here's one of the keys. If you forget, you can always ask the client, what was the phrase you used, or how did you describe, you know, I'm hearing this, what did you really say? It's a moving conversation. Some coaches take a lot of notes. I think if you want to make any notes in your files, do it afterwards, and just summaries. Uh-huh. Now, I heard a female voice that had a question that wanted to get in here. So who was that? Maybe
I have. This is
okay.
Well. This is Gail. It wasn't me. I heard an extra voice as well. But is there
okay.
any mentoring groups that you would suggest, or anybody has that they would suggest?
Well, you know what I've done. I mean, we don't have any set up per se. That's something that we probably ought to get back to offering at ILCT, whether it's with faculty or you know, board certified coaches or something. But I think if you have coaches you have met that you really feel a kindred spirit to, ask them if they'd be willing to be in a mentoring group. But, yeah, I mean, you can almost call it a wisdom circle. In the old days, that's what we called it. I had one for 7 years with the same group of five people. Mm-hmm. And we'd meet once a month, and we'd, you know, ask each other what challenges were, and maybe a couple people would be coached. I think it's just if you have people who are also in the field of coaching, who you can get coaching from and offer coaching to, the more you coach, the better your skills get.
Mm-hmm. This is Tom again. I was just going to mention, too, that I'm sure this is the case for a lot of people, but the fact that you provided a mentoring example, experience, it was really valuable for me.
Mm, too.
Oh, you mean in the very act of me being
yes,
who I am, and that here we offered it? Yeah. Okay. Well, I think that's valuable, and I think my goal would be to talk to other faculty or other ICF certified coaches or something, and that we would just do this occasionally. There are groups that I'm part of. I keep hearing there's a thing called ReciproCoach.
Right.
And, you know, you get so many credits and you get free coaching. There's a new thing that Peter Redding is doing with Coach for Life that you can pay like $99 for the year and hear masterful coaching. So I think look for those opportunities, but don't get sucked into the people that are charging a lot of money and trying to sell you something that's not needed, because there are already those. People know that, you know, coaches are looking for those opportunities. The bottom line is, if you guys take the training and you get to a level of competence and confidence, is just go coach a lot. And in the early days of coaching, ask your clients, so what benefit did you get out of coaching? Tell me what was helpful to you today and what might have been more helpful. Because I had no idea Ann was going to react the way she went. I mean, I thought, well, I hope this was helpful. And she's going, oh, my gosh, this was transformational in 20 minutes. You know? So let's see if there's a couple more, and then we'll move on. questions in real time here. All right, let me respond to one of these questions. So there, some of these are not typical of this question today. They're just generic. How does a coach's education and frame of reference affect the coach's approach or the quality of his coaching? You know, I'm going to be kind of iconoclastic in that regard. I mean, I think it's great to be well-educated, and this is a field of continual learning. But the bottom line in this field is life experience. I mean, education is part of your life experience, right, what you've learned. But you're not going to be quoting Socrates, I don't think, in a coaching session. You might send it to it afterwards. So it pays for you to be a well-educated learner who knows that learning is important. But what I learned in my doctoral degree back in 1977 is rather irrelevant right now. So I think that mindset, as we teach in the course, is probably more crucial about your effectiveness as a coach. Now, it may help you look credible based on your education and your certification. I mean, all that stuff is really more for you than for the client, because it leads to a sense of market differentiation, credibility, competence, et cetera. But if whatever field you all came from, if some of you were psychologists or counselors or you know, even CPAs or doctors, you know there's a lot of incompetence in every field, even with somebody who's well-educated. So I think mindset and the ability to be in this unique frame of coaching, because it's so different than every other kind of conversation people have. And, of course, now there's degrees in coaching, so they're starting to get some of the theoretical, which can lead to the applied. Okay, somebody else sent in a question that said, I'd just like to listen. I'm new in this role. Good. Well, I hope you listen. That's great. That's a very valuable thing to do lots of. Here's a great question I think would be relevant to what we discussed here and might even apply to Ann a little bit. How to focus a fairly new coaching client who is consistently overwhelmed with professional commitments a comfortable scenario for her? So I think, and that's kind of what you brought to this. You know, it's a new situation. There's a lot of chaos and overwhelm. You've got professional and life commitments. So I think always go to your client. And when you're stuck, ask the client. When you're stuck, say, what would be a helpful direction we could go right now? Or what would be a question I could ask you right now that would really move you off the dime? And they'll usually tell you. I mean, you know, when you get stuck as a coach, there's a multiple things you could do, but you can think of just a general question like, is there anything else? Or what else would be helpful? What's something that I could ask that would be a direction you want to go instead of the direction I want her to go? That's the distinction. And if we go back to metaphors, as we talked about in the start of this, a great way to look for a metaphor that comes from the client, not from you, is to simply say, and when you think of X, so we could say in Ann's situation, and when you think of this situation you're in, this position you're in, that is like what? And if you use the phrase, that is like what, not what is that like, but that is like what, leads to a metaphor. You cannot answer that question, well, they can if they get distracted, but if you answer with like what do you think they're going to say? So anybody on this call, what are some answers to that question for anything going on in your life? You don't even have to tell the story. But if you think of a current challenge that you have right now, and you say, so that challenge, when I think of that challenge, and when I bring that challenge into my consciousness, that is like what? What are some phrases that come to mind? Anybody have a fill-in-the-blank for that question?
The one that came to mind for me, this is Barbara in North Carolina, is I feel stuck between a rock and a hard place.
Good. So it's like being stuck between a rock and a hard place. Okay. Anybody else?
This is Noelle. It's like being stuck in glue.
Like being stuck in glue. You see, now we're getting somewhere. Now, I won't even delve into those metaphors, but you can see how that's going to open a richness of conversation. And so part of this is I could say, and when it's stuck like glue, what kind of glue is it? And how stuck are you in that glue? So you really go to elucidating the metaphor. And you'd be surprised how people will play with that. It really leads to insight. What would it take to get unstuck from that glue? So you can begin to see how that's powerful. Back to my topic of metaphors. I love them. Because they're a good shortcut for insight. All right, so we have got to wrap up for today in just a few. Let me just hear from people on the call of what you got out of generally. What are you taking away that you're going to put into practice immediately based on your spending time on this call?
This is Noelle. I'm going to take away from feeling, you know, as not a seasoned coach, because I'm just starting out. My background is in psychology, but making that mm-hmm. switch, just giving myself permission to not be worried about if you kind of squeeze everything in and not be so rote, like you said, but just
right.
almost be a lot more natural, because that is something that I sometimes worry about, because we've learned about so many different, you know, skill sets and so many different things that we're generating, such as like possibilities, kind of stretch the client. And I guess for me, just to try to be more natural, and that's the part I'm
yeah.
still trying to work on.
Yeah, to me, it always goes back to the idea of however you all learn to drive. I mean, back in my day, we had driver's education and then learn to drive. And you remember how you were so overly conscious of the brakes and the gear and the stop sign and looking over your shoulder and the gas pedal. And then eventually you just kind of throw the book away and drive, right, once you get your license.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what this is like. I mean, the more competent you get, the more ingrained you get, just be natural. But be of service to your client, and that's
mm-hmm.
the biggest thing that'll help you. You are being of service. This is a service profession.
No, and I think you're exactly right also with the practicing with more people, because as I've done that, I've also not had my notebook anywhere with me so that I could not just cheat, because I feel like I probably, you know, that's just going to keep you in that rote way if you
right.
use that as a crutch, just thinking like, well, I know there's really good questions in there. I can make sure I can follow this, you know, to some degree so that I'm,
right.
you know, keeping it in this format. So I agree.
Good, good. Let's hear from a couple others. What are you taking away that is going to be helpful to you?
Pat, this is Tom again. I think that just the idea of trying to anticipate each conversation that I have as a coaching conversation, really look at those opportunities.
Yeah. And that, yeah, that so that makes you get in a different mindset or
exactly.
or space to be, this is a coaching conversation, not just a chat, not a problem solving. You know, that's the role I want to be in. But somebody else.
Pat, this is Ann. In addition to everything else, pause button. Or mute button. I'm sorry. Mute button, which is essentially a pause button.
Yeah, yeah. You can have a mental pause button, or you can have a real one, yes.
Thank you so much for that.
Yeah, you're welcome. Well, and if you didn't notice, one of the hallmarks for me coaching, and actually this was even true as a psychologist, is the sense of lightness. I mean, I take my client seriously in the situation, but I'm not afraid to be not humorous, but light. And I think if you can allow yourselves to experiment with that, coaching is not a heavy conversation. In fact, if you hang up from a coaching call and you're exhausted, you work too hard. because it is energizing, as Dan said. And that energy comes from and goes back to your client. You both may be energized by the conversation. But that's why I love it. So thank you all for being here today. Watch for other forums and opportunities we have coming up. And if there's ideas you have or something you'd like to see, just shoot it to me or to Ellen, and we'll do our best.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you all.
Thank you.